Okay, good evening everyone. But I want to discuss this evening some of the halachas that relate to Ovi Kochavim doing various types of work for Yisrael, for Yehudi, and based on different work arrangements, and under what circumstances work can be performed on Shabbos and whatnot. Until now, we were talking about Amir Lakav in the sense that something comes up on Shabbos, and something which you're not allowed to do. And the question is, under what circumstances is it okay to ask a non-Jew to help you, and when not? Somebody came over to me. It wasn't this Shabbos, but I think it was. It was 2 weeks ago, Friday night, that his young daughter had a certain type of ailment, and he wasn't able to pick up her prescription for it before Shabbos. The doctor prescribed something, and he wasn't able to get it before Shabbos. And based on what he described, I thought it was pretty important that she get it. It's a small girl, and whatever it was exactly, but I thought it was important that she get it. So I said, look, and go over to Walgreens. It's the prescription was at Walgreens, and Walgreens is within the Erev. The person uses the Erev, so we could carry it back. Certainly, if he doesn't go on to the main, if he goes on to 163rd Street, you might walk out of the Erev. But if you stay back and walk the other way back to the, then you be within the Erev. And the question is, well, is he going to need to use a credit card? He thought that possibly not, that there would be no charge even, and he thought that they'd probably just give it to him. I'm sure he's nice spread. Probably his information is there on insurance and everything. And he said, but they might make him sign, to actually take it. So I told him, asked him if you could have it without signing, given that you're a Sabbath observer, whatever, or tell him, look, you can't sign, but you don't care what they want to do. They want to sign, they could sign. And if they say no, you have to do it. So see if there's somebody else around in the store who would understand. So you can do me a favor and come with me to the counter, and you'll be my friend, and we'll pick it up together. he told me afterwards he had no problem. They gave it to him, nothing, didn't have to sign anything, no payment, no signing, nothing. They just gave it to him, and he was able to take it home for his daughter. So I'm just bringing this out because it's parenthetically related here, but he might have needed the help. He obviously needed the help of a non-Jew. He had to ask them to, when they're processing it, they do it in their machinery there, in their computer. They pull it up in the computer and whatever else they do. But and he might have needed a non-Jew to sign it for him. Also, he had even to get into the place. I probably have to wait for it. So I told him to wait for somebody else to walk in and walk behind them.
What will be the right way to cross the sensor
with someone
in the sensor?
Does it not have like a motion sensor on top, or does it also have like a sensor like the electronic gates that you have a beam?
I don't know.
You should be making a kinyan on it.
But I think once the door is open, you can just walk behind the person. Well, he's making a kinyan. He felt his daughter needed it too. She was I don't remember exactly what it was, but that was the first step. Is it something that he should pick up on Shabbos? I felt that he should, based on whatever the particular tzarech was. I don't even remember exactly, but. So for that he could. The person is allowed to be kona medications if they needed, especially if it was a child. So it was a young girl. But also the fact that it worked out perfectly. It didn't. I remember years ago, many years ago, my son, who's now not so young. I mean, not all kids, but that's for sure. He has little kids. When he was very, very small, he had something on Shabbos, not first Shabbos, a Yontif, I don't remember. I think it was Shabbos. And also felt he needed to pick up I don't remember his prescription even, but I was by my parents' house at the time, and so we went. I went with my father to the local drugstore, and there wasn't, as like I said, I don't think it was your prescription. It was just a question of walking to the store and say, we really need this this medication. And we asked them if they would give it to us on trust, and they did. I was going back about 35 years.
And
where? In Queens, New York. And they gave it to us, I don't remember this part, but I'm sure we went after Shabbos and paid for it. Excuse me. Okay. Anyway, so getting back here. So that's we've been discussing till now, those types of situations. Now, what I want to talk about the situation of something where you arrange for a guy's doing malacha for you, and you ask him to do some malacha, but the question is, could he do this malacha over Shabbos? Can he not? Under what are the factors that determine whether or not it's okay for him to be working on it over Shabbos? So, in the beginning of Siman Reish Mem Dal, this is actually the very beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. The first siman is about Suda Shabbos, about the basics of Kavod Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, the very basics. But then, starting with the next siman, it gets into these halachas of having a goy umalacha. So the Mechaber says in Reish Mem Dalet, Posek Adam Mema'ina Yehudi Al Malacha, a person could make up, could strike a deal, do a deal with a non-Jew about work to be done for him. The Kotzeitz Damim, and he sets a price for it, what the non-Jew is going to be paid for the job. V'ha'ini yudi osel atzmo, and the anybody does the work on his own, when he desires. V'af al pi shoze b'Shabbos, mutter. He can even work it on Shabbos. In other words, the first step is that his kotzeitz damim. In other words, which is
the before Shabbos, when did they kotzeitz damim?
No, before Shabbos. This happened before Shabbos. The arrangement being made before Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu kablonos, shemasne imo sheyasalo eza malacha b'schar dover katsuv. He's arranges with him, he needs this malacha done, and he hires this individual, this non-Jew, to do the malacha at a set fee, meaning he's not being paid for his time. He's not hiring a worker and saying, I need the garden work done. You know, I'll pay you, $15 an hour to take care of my backyard. No, that's what he's not paying you by the hour. He's not paying you for his time. He's paying for the job. I need a job done, and they work out a deal how much he's offering for the job, and then it says the guy can do it on his own. Now another condition is that it has to be that it's. Meaning that the guy sets decides when to work. You can't be what's called koveya malachto. Koveya, it's aser likaboa malachto b'Shabbos. You can't tell the guy that you want him to be working on Shabbos, or that includes you can't give him the job close to Shabbos with a deadline that I need it done by a certain time, which would compel him to work on Shabbos. It has to be that he's not directly instructed to work on Shabbos, and the amount of time that he has to fulfill the job by allows him, gives him the liberty of not working on Shabbos. As opposed to if you make these arrangements with him right before Shabbos, and you tell him you want it back Motzai Shabbos or even Sunday, depending on the type, how much work is involved, in a way that it's impossible. He can't do it. He can't get it done for you unless he works on Shabbos. Then that would be considered koveya malachto b'Shabbos. So that even though you're paying him for the job, you're not paying him for his time, it would still be usher. Okay, so just let's review. The first step is that he can't be what's called a schir yom. A schir yom means he's hired worker, hired for the day or for the hour. That you're not allowed to. That's usur. A guy working, even though he's getting paid, but if he's being paid by the hour, so that's the same as if he's not being paid. That's being considered that he's working for you, and you've bought his time, and even if you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos, but the fact that he's working on Shabbos and you're paying him for Shabbos hours, that's usur. You could pay him for work he did on Shabbos, assuming it was kablanus. Kablanus means he was hired to get a job done, finish a job, and he chose to work it on Shabbos.
More of a specific question. So, a jeweler, they're working on a repair or something. They'll charge for all the materials that go into it, and they also charge per hour. But they're charging just. But we just tell them, you know, we want it done. Like, you know, we need this. You know, and they just break it down per hour. But
they give you a bottom line fee, right? A bottom line price.
I mean, they break everything down for us, so we see what the charges are.
Okay, but at the end, you're not. I mean, it depends. I mean, if you're actually paying for the time they worked. You know, for the hours they work, that would be a problem. But if they just give you, if they give you a bill, so they tell you this is how they came to this number,
right,
but this is the price for the job.
That seems hilarious.
Then, yeah, okay. Then
included in it, the laborers, but I don't think it should be a set thing. I think it's just more like certain things that might be more difficult. So they'll tack it on, saying, like, oh, I could work this number of hours, but.
Mm-hmm. But if you're paying them for the job, then it's okay.
And if you pay them by hour, but you don't know when they work, let's say you give them a watch to fix it, and you pick it up 2 weeks later. They can show you, let's say, took them 3 hours to fix it, and they decide to do it on Shabbat.
So
like, they can do it any day, Jordan.
Right, but that's really
charged by the hour.
Right, but that's not okay. You have to, if it has to be, you know, you're setting a price, a price for the job, not just the paying by, you know, make I'll pay you X per hour. I'll pay you for the job. Give me, you know, a price to get the job done.
So does it make a difference if you know that they work in Shabbat or not? So let's say you just give it there, leave it there, and they pass.
But if you know it, if paid by the hour, then it's us. Even if you just leave it there, yeah, it does make a difference whether you know it or not. I mean, if you don't think they're working on Shabbos, if you never know, you never find out. But see, you have to arrange with them in advance that I'll pay you for the job, not for your time.
What about a mummer? You know, you don't know if this person works on Shabbos or not, but
okay, but that's a totally different sugya. If you're giving it to a non-Jew, I mean, excuse me, to a Jew rather, who may work on Shabbos, then you have to be much more careful, because you definitely don't want to be and can't be the gorim that he's going to work on Shabbos. I mean, it's always if you have a
let's say the non-Jew owns a store, and let's say like a dry cleaner, they own a dry cleaner, but they don't. Let's say their owner's not there, but they have, you know, gorim.
But a Jew owns the store.
Yeah.
So if a Jew owns a store and it's open on Shabbos and the guy is working for him on Shabbos, so if he's not from, so that he obviously doesn't have it. Assuming he has no shaychus to being, you know, to halacha, so he hasn't made any possible arrangements to allow it to be running on Shabbos, then you should not do it. Because you shouldn't. We'll speak. Let me speak that when I go through some of the cases here. So. Sorry.
If somebody hires, like I see maybe in a few shoes, that they do a seudah, and they don't do seudahs every time, every Shabbat. But some Shabbatots, they decide to do a seudah, and they bring a cleaning lady. That's completely asur, no?
Well, so we mentioned this last time, that there is a shita of the aruch that you're allowed to have a guy do even a malacha deraisa, the tzarech mitzvah. And I mentioned that shuls typically rely on this for what's called mitzvah derabim. If a shul has some sort of affair, or even just a kiddush, and it makes the shul afterwards is in great disarray, and they wouldn't be able to daven there later, wouldn't be able to have to learn in the afternoon, daven mincha, no, the whole, you know, shul would be not really functional the rest of Shabbos. So they rely on having goyim come, and they're relying on the shita that you're allowed to have a goy do malach afiyud tzarech mitzvah, especially when it's a mitzvah derabim.
So there is a leaning opinion there.
Right. that's right. but that doesn't allow for a person who needs his whatever something fixed to go ahead and hire a guy to say, and work it on Shabbos. Okay, so getting back here. So number one, it has to be that he's being paid for the job, not for his time. And as I said, number two, that he's not being compelled in any way to work on Shabbos. And the next important condition is that he's not working on the Jewish property. He's not working in your house or on your land, on your property, but he's working in his own house or in his own shop or whatever. But to do work on Jewish property or in a Jewish home, that's usur to have a guy do that, even if he's a kabbalan. It's just work doing the job, and you didn't ask him dafka to work on Shabbos, but there's usur because of amaris ayin, right? Now, what the Mechaber says here is that you could, well, before I get to the Mechaber, I'm sorry, so I was trying to say before that, let's take a case. You mentioned the case of a dry cleaner. So let's talk about a dry cleaner, where let's say the business is a non-Jewish business, owned by a non-Jew and presumably non-Jewish workers, and you have a suit you need cleaned. So you're allowed to bring your suit in whenever it is during the week, and you don't necessarily have to pick it up before Shabbos, and it's possible that if you left it there, they'll work it on over Shabbos. But as long as, first of all, you're paying them for the job, right? They charge, you know, whatever the price is, $15 to clean the suit, whatever it is. And you don't tell them they have to do it on Shabbos, nor do you give them a time limit. You don't bring it, if you bring it on Friday and say, I need it back, you know, it's during the winter, Shabbos ends a little early, and they're still open, let's say Shabbos, I need it back tomorrow night, where they've got to work it on Shabbos. You brought it in Friday afternoon, you know, on their way to shul, just before Shabbos, and you want to pick it up, let's say Shabbos, on your way home from shul. The only way to do it is on Shabbos. That would be usher to do, because then, even if you don't specifically say, work it on Shabbos, just say, I would like it by tomorrow night, so then you're asking them to work on Shabbos, that you can't do. Or even if it's not as extreme, and many poskim say, even if there's a day in between, a Sunday, but if their business is not open, their normal business hours, they're not open on Sunday, then that doesn't go into the cheshbon of the time. There has to be enough time during regular business hours. Because there's a Taz that talks about that you can't give the guy malacha to do, and that you want it back, you know, right after Shabbos. And the only way he could possibly get it done is that he'll stay up all night working on it. Because otherwise, there's no way he can get it done. Before Shabbos, there's no time. So you bring it to him on a Thursday evening, and there's not enough. It's a type of job that takes many hours worth of work. If he just works it on Friday, he will not have it done. You want to pick it up on, say, Shabbos. If he just works it on Friday, he will not get it done. He would have to stay up all night Thursday and then work it on Friday, and then you'll be ready to pick up on, say, Shabbos, so that you're not allowed to do it. Because, and he's not going to do that. He's going to, of course, if you knew that he was going to do that, if you somehow could guarantee he'll do that, okay, yeah, that's fine. If he's just going to work on a Thursday, not on Friday, fine. But that's not what's going to happen. He's going to work on a Friday and Shabbos. So Friday and, what, by him, Saturday. So that'll be ready for you to pick up on Sunday, Shabbos. So even though you might say, well, I'm not compelling him to work on Friday and Saturday, he could work Thursday night and Friday. He could stay up all night Thursday night and then work through Friday and he'll get it done. But since that's not to be expected, and that's not normal, then that's not normal if he any b'chal business patterns. But what the poskim say is, even if it's something which is not inherently abnormal, to be open on Sunday would not abnormal, it's just that it's not the derech, it's not the routine. It's their business model is they're open 6 days a week, not, and then they're closed Sundays. So then even to bring it in on a Friday and ask for it back on Monday morning in a way that they would be compelled to work it on Shabbos, the only way they can get it done during normal business hours, their normal business hours, to work on Shabbos, that would not be able to do, because that's called Koveya Malachta B'Shabbos. You're basically compelling him or requesting that it be worked on in Shabbos. So that's true by whether it's a suit, whether it's a printing job, a person wants certain things printed up, and again, he would have to if he brings in the time and he's asking for it back shortly after Shabbos in a way that they'd have to work in it over Shabbos, he cannot do it. Whereas if he brings it in at a point and he says, either he brings it early in the week he brings it in, you know, Tuesday, and he says, I want it ready for Shabbos. There's plenty of time to do it. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's plenty of time to do it. Or if he brings it in even on Friday, but he says, whenever it's ready, it's ready. I mean, here's my suit. Whenever it's ready, it's ready. And then even if you go pick it up Monday morning, and sure enough, it's ready. But you know, because they chose to do it. Or give me one more case. A mechanic. You brought your car to the mechanic, and you don't tell him. You know, you must have it back by whenever it is. Bring it on a Friday afternoon when you finished using it for the week, and you say, look, whenever it's ready, it's ready. And even if the guy tells you, yeah, well, I'll probably get to it tomorrow. I think tomorrow afternoon, I'll have tomorrow morning, whatever. It should be done by tomorrow afternoon. You say, look, whatever you do, you do. It's not, as long as he's not a non-Jew. Whatever you do, they say, you're paying him for the job. You're not asking him to do it on Shabbos. And he's not working on your property. He's working in his auto shop, his mechanic shop. So as long as he's a non-Jew, then that's fine. And even the case, let's say you called him up, you brought it in on Wednesday or something, and you call him Friday to check if it's ready. If it's ready, you'll pick it up before Shabbos. He says, "No, I didn't get a chance to finish it. I'm waiting for a certain part, but for sure tomorrow I'll be, you know, and in fact we just got the part now. I don't have time now. You know, we're closing in an hour, so I won't have time to do it. But I'll be doing it tomorrow, and it'll be ready. Motzai Shabbos. Now let's say even you asked for it. Let's say you asked for Motzai Shabbos, and now you know he's got to work in it Shabbos to get it to meet the original commitment, right? You brought it on Wednesday, and you asked to pick it up Motzai Shabbos, but you figured you'll give a call Friday just to see in case it's ready. You'll pick it up Friday already, and he says, "No, I'm sorry, it's not ready, but we'll have plenty of time tomorrow to finish it." So now you know he's going to work on Shabbos, but he's going to work on Shabbos in order to fill his commitment, that the time frame you gave him. But the time frame I gave him didn't compel him. I gave him time to work in during the week, and he chose to leave for Shabbos, so that would be okay.
So why am I allowed to bring out a melacha, let's say with a timer, in my house to put the clothing to clean with a timer? I'm not gonna do anything. Erev Shabbat, I just throw everything there. I put a timer. It's gonna be working all Shabbat doing laundry allowed. And why I'm forbidden to end with a goy?
Well, because we hold that Amira la'akum, or is usur, or having an akum du malchut is usur for the various regions. It's like appointing him as a shaliach, or other reasons we shouldn't give. Whereas the timer is a question of shvisas kalim. Your kalim don't have to rest on Shabbos. Your kalim could do malachu. It's machlokas beit shamayim beit hillel in the first parak of Shabbos. And we pass like Beis Hillel that there's no chiyuv of shvis has kelim. My kelim can work on Shabbos. I can't work on Shabbos. My animals can't work on Shabbos. And certainly my children, even if, I can't make my children work on Shabbos, even if they're very young. But my kelim, allowed to work on Shabbos. Now, there are restrictions there too, something they can't make a lot of noise and draw attention and whatever it is, but not going into those details. But that's the idea why the etzem of timer should be more. Now, what happens to me is a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein where he would not give the answer that I just gave you. He would say, it isn't okay. He would say, you hit it on the nose. And if we're going to allow it for the same, he draws the same comparison between Amir La'akum and setting a timer. He says, if it's going to be put to the set timers, people could have a whole business. You could have your whole factory running on automated system. And it'll be the tremendous Zilzul Shabbos, and just like having a guy, or even worse. And he says in the truth, he says, I am positive that if timers were around in the days of Chazal, when they made the Gzer against Amir Lakum, if timers existed then, they would have made a Gzer against timers also. That's right. And he writes that he feels it's us to use a timer, except for lights. For lights to go on and off, which he makes an exception. But to do anything else, he says it's us. Not everyone agrees. There are poskim mafurish that disagree with this. Chazanish talks about a timer even for food preparation and stuff, and many disagree. But that's very much your thinking isn't far off. Okay. Now,
how does it work with the post office?
So the post office is really the same way of kabbalas. When you put, let's say you put a stamp on an envelope and drop it in the mailbox, right? That stamp means I'm paying for the job, I'm paying whatever it is, 50 cents or whatever it costs now.
Say for example FedEx. So you have an overnight priority, which means that I needed to get there Monday morning.
So to ask for something to bring it in at a time when you and ask overnight in a way that it has to be done on Shabbos, you're typically not allowed to do.
Well, I'm not saying anything. I just print the label and I just hand them.
Speech is not only with your lips.
So you can't give them things that are over.
No, you can't overnight something away. They'll have to do it on Shabbos. Except there are heterim in a big shas hatzorech. There's a halacha. We may have mentioned this earlier there's a opinion in the achronim that amira la amira is mutter. Amira la akam is asr. I can't ask a goy to do malacha, but I can ask a goy to commission another goy to do malacha. So, which is what you're doing, right? When you go into FedEx, you're not speaking to the guy that's going to be flying the plane or driving the truck or whatever.
Same thing with driving as also. The guy, the cashier register.
Right. But the thing is with the dry cleaner, you're supposed to you work it out that you don't have that. If it would be mamash big shas chaka guy, his child's chasna is on Sunday, and his wife's gown or his daughter's gown, all of a sudden something spilled all over it and it's gefelich and it's gonna be she doesn't have another gown to wear and she must have it for Sunday and it's Friday afternoon, so it would be matter b'shas tzarich like that to bring it in a mirla. There sometimes I don't know in the dry cleaners sometimes the lady who's behind the counter might be she's working and she sees you come in, she stops, comes to the, depending on how big the business is, comes to the counter and takes it. So you might be the same person, but okay, often it's not. So there would be matter that same heter would exist, but it's more prevalent, I think, by things that must be male. But
right, I'm saying I know not just from one business, not I mean, but like even for a lot of businesses, they things go out Friday afternoon because they have to get to a law office or to a firm.
Okay.
Morning,
so Ashrei Misha, could arrange his asakam in such a way that it doesn't have to be at the last minute like that, where he's able to send it out Thursday night and do overnight, so they'll get it Friday before Shabbos and or whatever. But if it's judged, if it's deemed the shas, a big shas tzarech, then the samech and hetter v'mirla amira. Okay, but those are the exceptions. So now, so these cases of the dry cleaner or the mechanic or the printer. Based on what you said before, if the guy is a yid, the person is a yid, then you cannot do this. You obviously can't do it. If you know, or you have strong suspicion that he's going to work it on Shabbos, then you definitely should not be doing that. Then you make sure you give him your car repairs only on a Monday and pick it up before whatever day, but you pick it up before Shabbos or your dry cleaning for sure. You have if you use a Jew who's not observant, and even if he's not doing the work himself, but if he's having his business run by in a way that's not permissible, he has his business open on Shabbos and goyim doing the work, but in a way that's not mutter for him to be doing that. Then you shouldn't either shouldn't be patronizing such a business or try to do it before. Do it in a way that you could bring it in earlier in the week. If you must bring something in a way that you're pretty sure they're going to work over Shabbos, even though you're not commanded, you got to go with going. Somebody just asked me today that he asked me a person wants to buy a certain instrument, and it was a big investment. And he wants to have somebody to check it out for. Somebody else is selling it, piano, selling it secondhand. And he wants to have a certain person go to the drive to wherever it is and check it out. This person's a yid. And in the course of the conversation, the person mentioned to him that, he works, he has a different profession during the week, and he does these things on the weekends. He's going to do it, he would be doing it on Saturday, going driving to wherever it is to check out the piano. And he's a Jew, but a non-firm Jew. So the question was, could he hire the guy? The answer is absolutely not. The guy told him, Derech Agav, he mentioned that he'll take care of it on Saturday. That's when he has a chance to do it. You can't hire a person to do that. Even if you're not asking him to do it then, and you don't care. Even if you're hiring him on a Tuesday, and you're just as happy as you go during the week. But he's telling you you're going to do it on Shabbos. So if it's a guy, it's fine. I say, look, I'm paying you, $100 to check out the piano and let me know if it's good or not. I need to know by Sunday. Today's Tuesday. Or I need to know whenever you know. I'm not in the biggest rush. Tell me sometime next week. Whenever you know. Give me a call when you know. So that's fine. And if he tells you, I'll have a chance to do it on Saturday, I says, I don't give when you have a chance. Look, it's not my business. I'm not I'm not telling you when it has to be done. Today's Tuesday. You have plenty of time to do it whenever. I mean, from my perspective, you want to do it on Saturday, do it on Saturday. It's not in my house, and I hope it's not. Hope the seller's not a Jew either. And in that case, I don't know. But whatever, it's not in my house, and I'm not paying him for his time. I'm paying him $100 to do the job. Go there, check it out, and whatever. And I'm giving him plenty of time to do it, so I don't care if he does it on Shabbos. But if it's a Jew, I care very much. So okay. So now, so with this comes out. One of the most relevant situations are construction, when a person's having construction done on his house, and and it's a job, or he's having a house built, or whatever it is, you know, a major construction job. It's going to take many weeks, and he has even if, let's say the firm is completely non-Jews, the workers certainly, but even the let's say the general contractor is a non-Jew, but they're going to be working on his property. So here, even though there's a kablan, right? It's a kablan. He's not a schir yom. You're not paying for the hour. You're paying for the job, and you're not telling him when to work, right? But you're giving the deadline is many months off, so that they could, you know, they don't have to work on Saturday. But they're working on your property. They're working on you have a house in the middle of North Miami Beach or West Rogers Park or Kew Gardens Hills or you name it. Many a Jewish neighborhood.
What would make the difference in the Jewish neighborhood?
So if it's out of the tchum, says his mutter. If it's not within the tchum, so that no Jew could really get there on Shabbos.
The tchum, it's
okay.
It arrives almost till Orlando.
Out of the person's tchum. So let's say.
Out of the tchum where Jews live, and it's a place where no Jews live within the tchum, so that no Jew, or wherever any Jew lives, he couldn't walk there on Shabbos or Yontif, then he couldn't travel there. Then it's mutter. Again, you can't tell him to work on Shabbos, but you can say, I don't care when you do it. But this is no good. Sometimes people they buy properties in not very Jewish neighborhood, but at least. It could very well still be within the tchum. It might not be. Sometimes people buy property, you know, they buy these properties out and who knows where, and there's no reason to believe there's any Jew within any hidden distance, so that's a different story. But most of our shilas, not most of the week-to-week, day-to-day, week-to-week shilas are local, local houses. A person wants having work done in his house, major repairs done to his house, or major refurbishing, remodeling. And even if whether they're working inside or whether they're working on the outside, you're not allowed to have them working on Shabbos. And this is something that you really have to stipulate when you hire the contractor. You have to stipulate with them very clearly that no work can be done Shabbos or Yom Tov, right? Usually, very often, like this, these jobs take many weeks or months, so you have to check your calendar in advance. Shabbos, Yom Tov, or Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed as well. A non-Jew is not allowed to do malacha for a Jew in Chol HaMoed, especially not malechas mechubar, to work on karka. And this is something people don't always think about in advance, and it's a big deal, because especially if you don't plan in advance and you realize three days before Pesach, you realize, oh, one second, I never mentioned that, the Mamash Lamullah's job, I never mentioned that next week is Yantif and it's Chol HaMoed. And then you call them up and you tell them, okay, you got to take off a week. They say, whoa, are you crazy? Take off. And then, the general contractor says, what? I'm going to tell my guys not to show up for a week. I'll never see them again. And he says, I'll never see them again. You'll never see them again. And your house is going to take, it's not going to take an extra week. It's going to take an extra 2 months if you're lucky. See, you got to, I'm just saying, you got to plan that in advance.
So if an employee is paid hourly, let's say an employee paid hourly and he's non-Jewish and he works in a company full of Jews, and so whenever it comes Yom Tov, the person starts losing out. The company can't just pay him for
not to work. I mean, if they want
to
just
not
give
to work,
him,
just I'm saying, just pay him the hourly fee that he would get, just because
they can give him money for doing nothing. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess some people don't want to work for you. Yeah, you can get money for doing nothing, right? You can pay vacation. You can get paid vacation, pay time off. Right. Yeah, you can get paid time off, sure. But you can't give them paid time on. So this is something very now I just want to point out, really, there's a whole discussion here in the halacha. If let's say, why can't they if they're really, the guy's a kabbalan, right? Again, the guy's a kabbalan, he's a contractor, he's not being paid for his time, he's paying for the job, and I'm not telling him to do it on Shabbos. So why can't he work on my property on Shabbos? So he said marasayin, right? What's the marasayin? So there's really two forms. The first marasayin is simply, who know? How do people know that he's being paid for the job? Maybe I'm paying him for the hour, right? Maybe I'm paying by the hour, and they'll be choshed me. It's marasayin. So you'd say, well, but that's not normal, right? When you let's say a house is being built, you bought a piece of property and you're having a house put up, you don't pay guys by the hour. I mean, that just doesn't happen. At least not in our, you know, you pay for the job, right? You know, so you might say everybody knows that marasayin. Nobody thinks you're paying him by the hour. So is that still usur? So there's talk of discussion about that maybe in a place where it's the minug of everybody does it, but kabbalanis, it's unheard of to do this type of work, but schir yom is unheard of, perhaps it should be mutter. But the Rishonim and Achronim Paskim that know there's still a different form of marasayin, and that is that even though people might realize he's being paid for the job, but they don't, the Ran says, they don't understand the difference. The average person doesn't comprehend what difference does it make. If I'm allowed to pay him to do the job, why can't I pay him by the hour? What's the difference? He's working because he wants to work. He's getting paid. So my nafkamina, the fact that, you know, this guy, I'm paid to do the job, he's telling me it's okay. And the other guy, let's say, who's not doing my lawn, who maybe I pay, you know, by the hour, or some other type of job where I pay him by the hour, what difference does it make? I'm paying him. He's working because he wants to earn money. He's not working because he wants to help me out. He wants to earn. He's working for himself. But the halacha differentiates from that them very, you know, very firmly and clearly, and says that this is mutter and this is usur. But so since people don't grasp that difference, many people don't grasp that difference, and therefore it still becomes maris ayin. People who see you allowing a worker to work on your property on Shabbos might think that you could have someone work for you on Shabbos even if he's paid by the hour, and because of that, this is the psak of many of the poskim, and this is the way Mr. Brewer goes and Rabbi Shneur goes, that you can, even by kabbalanus, even in a place where everybody does kabbalanus, you still can't do it. You can't have a Jew working on your property on Shabbos. You can't have him, you know, let's say building a house, and you can't have him painting your house, or mowing your lawn, or anything, you know, any home improvements or any malacha whatsoever in your house, you can't have it done. Can't have them come and fix your air conditioning or your plumbing or whatever it is under any normal circumstances. There are shas hadchaks, and when they have to come on to heterim, like you mentioned before, of amir lamira or whatever it may be, by like emergencies, when an emergency plumbing job all of a sudden, unfortunately, it seems to be common. I guess you've had in the whole community, somebody's plumbing is maybe gonna need attention all of a sudden on Erev Pesach, you know, 2 hours before Yom Tov. Hopefully nobody's, but it's happened not just once or twice that all of a sudden right before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov, things go something gets niskalkel, and they have company and they can't, you know, nothing is flushing or the water is squirting out over the place, and they need it. So then they have to ask a shaila if and what could be done, whether on Yom Tov itself, if possible, or in Chol HaMoed, what could be done. But the shaila has to be yes, and there are, the halacha has parameters and has guidelines, but under normal circumstances it has to be arranged in advance that there can be no work done on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. And the halacha says if you arranged with them and then they come and work anyway, so avadi, have to try to send them away and say, what are you doing here? I said nothing. And but if they like they sort of refuse to work, and if this guy, you know, he says, you know, if we're not going to finish it now, we're close to the end of the job, and they don't care anymore what you told them. They just want to get this done with, and say, you know, if we're not going to finish now, it's gonna cost you much more. For whatever else, we're gonna stop in the middle. I'm gonna have to hire another crew and cost much more. So then you don't have to suffer a loss. You made up with them. They can't do it on Shabbos, and they came anyway. So you machlif to try to send them away, but not at a great expense. But if you didn't stipulate, you neglected to tell them altogether, they can't excuse me, and they come to work on Shabbos and they're only going to leave, it's going to cost you money for them to leave, you have to suffer the loss because you didn't tell them. It's your pshia. You didn't tell them in the first place not to come, so then you would have to even suffer a financial loss to get them to leave. So, and this is something that's happened more than once, that sometimes they do show up anyway, or I mean, sometimes people have properties being worked on here that the guy doesn't even live here. And, you know, a Jewish guy in New York, and he has a property and it's being worked on. And I don't know, did he stipulate, did he not stipulate? I don't know. But all of a sudden we walk down the block on Shabbos and there are workers there, and, you know, working. And that's, it's, unfortunately it has happened. And I know sometimes people have run over them and told them, you know, you can't do this. You can't be here on this Saturday. And sometimes they listen, they wait, whatever it is. But at the very least, even if there would be makom to say that there are kulas, and I said before, you know, they're in a place where everybody does the kapalonos. There's more makom to be mekel, and it's a whole shaila. But at the very least, it's a chil Hashem that to have in the middle of the Jewish neighborhood to have going and working on a property that everybody knows that he bought this property, and or maybe they even know who it is, and especially if it's a person who lived here or who used to live here or who, you know, who lives here half the year, and people, so it's definitely a chel Hashem, and something that has to be
stopped for the neighbor to stop.
Yeah to the extent that they can, yes, to the extent that, yeah, they try, definitely have to try to. So I saw a couple of weeks ago, I saw there's a property on my block, but it was always owned by non-Jews, and they said when they left the house that they had their house was damaged for years, and they finally one day we see them, they're packing up, they're moving out, and they said, I didn't hear from them, but another neighbor in the block said, they said that they're moving out for a number of months, and the house is going to be rebuilt, and they're coming back. So 2 weeks ago, I saw the house being worked on Shabbos, but so I asked again, somebody says, and he said, yes, as far as I know, this is totally non-Jews. It's the taka belongs to those people. As far as anybody knows, it's okay. So it's a non-Jewish property. There's another piece of property which has been vacant for years. I was just told now that it was bought by a Jew. So it was going to, hopefully, that we will not see anybody working there on Shabbos. Well, something, nothing's happening there. I just heard that it was sold to a Jew. So there, as Hashem, hopefully, we'll not see anybody working on Shabbos. But if you pass by such a property and you see then it's a mitzvah to go with them and say, yeah, I mean, you try to do it first b'nimus, you know, in a way that they'll be niskabel. Okay, but you'll be doing the person a favor, and you'll be a mamash from chalosh. It's a big chalosh when, and even chalamoid. It's big chalosh. I'll just mention one more thing. It's in fact, even since chalamoid is more chamer, in that chalamoid you can't even let them work on property outside of the tchum. Why? Because the rules of tchum don't apply, so a Jew could go there. A Jew might be driving there, taking his kids on a whatever, and driving by and say, "Hey, isn't this where my neighbor told me he bought this property out, you know, out in Nowheresville, and look, they're working on chalamoy." So on Shabbos, you know, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be. But so chalamoy says there, it's more chamer. They can't even let them work outside of the tchum. Well, yeah. Okay, so this is just the basics of this parsha, but it's something that's very, very nagel. Like I said, the cases with the mechanic and the dry cleaner and all of these types of things, very, very nagel to be aware of and to keep in mind. And there again, you have the advantage they're not working on your property, so therefore you just make sure you're not kovei a malachta b'Shabbos. And if it's talking about work on your property, then you have the much bigger cheshbon that you can't have it done altogether. Okay, well, I'll leave it here.